We're in our Blessed Life series, and we're going to be continuing in that. But it started snowing yesterday, and I'm like, wait a minute. March Madness has been canceled. There's not supposed to be any snow. But spring is on the way. I'm thankful for that. What about you? But this has been a very mild winter. We have not had hardly anything of ice and snow. Wow. But we are in the Blessed Life series. We're in part two today of a four-part mini-series within a series. You're like, say what? We are in the Sermon on the Mount, and we have come to the point in the Sermon on the Mount where we're in the prayer that the Lord gave us, known as the Lord's Prayer. We're looking at this, the Lord's Prayer to us, and we're calling it communicating words of quality. We saw last week that Jesus began to teach us in this Lord's Prayer for us how to pray when we pray. We all pray, but when we pray, when our words fly heavenward, will they be received? Will they be welcomed by God? Will He see the heart? Will they reach God's heart as we pray? Do we communicate these words of quality or these words of authenticity? So as we saw last week, it's not about the length of our prayers or how many words we use, but it's rather about the state of our hearts when we pray, right? Whether long or short prayers didn't matter. Both are legitimate. It's not the main issue, but rather the main issue is the quality of our words. Whether many or few, it's the qualities of those words that open up the mighty hand of God to bless. And it is the love in our prayers for God which drives what we do. Our love for God, rather than the length of our prayers to God, that reaches His heart. How many of you want to pray that reaches and touches the heart of God? I do. I really want that. I'm tempted to lick my fingers, but I'm like, don't do that. I'll get a picture of me. Someone will get a picture of me on YouTube going, hey, don't touch your mouth. I'm not going to be that guy. It's the quality prayers begin, as Jesus pointed out, it's His model. This prayer is His model prayer for us, with the focus on God, with the focus on the Father, with the focus on His glory. The focus started with not on our wants, but it started with the focus on Him. We praying from our hearts and showing in our lives, lest we saw, like the Pharisees, we would be hypocrites. So we want His name to be magnified, amen? We want His kingdom to come. We want His will to be done in the world as it is in heaven, and not in our personal lives of our will. We want His will in our personal lives to be done. It's after first focusing on these issues and focusing on God the Father, after giving Him the glory that He rightfully deserves, His name above all names, that He says we can now turn our focus on us and our prayers. And that's important that we do that. So we go from the your to us, our needs. It's interesting with our current situation going on in the country today that I made sure that I didn't get tempted to take Scripture and apply it unnecessarily to our condition. I want to take Scripture and apply it for what it is in the context and for what God would have, regardless of our situation. But it's very interesting that at this time, when we started this 20-some weeks ago, we'd be here today on this certain part of the prayer. Is God not in control? Matthew 6, 11 through 13, let's look at it. So we just got done giving God His glory. Now Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now notice something here. The Son of God, who we're going to see, knows what we need, wraps up every need we have to pray about in just three requests, 31 words, or in the Greek, 33 words, He wraps it up. Give us our bread. Forgive us our debts, our sins. Deliver us from evil. So we're to pray daily, as many have noted, for our provision, for our pardon, and our protection. How many know that it's God who gives us provision, pardon, protection? And that's all we need. But two of the three have to do with our spiritual life, only one with the material life. But notice that Jesus tied them together with the word, and. So he ties these all together to emphasize the importance of praying daily for all three. Jesus wants us to pray daily for all three of these. Our Father who knows what we need, who already knows what we need in daily pardon, who already knows the protection we need, as much as he knows the daily provision we need. So this morning, we're going to deal with just one aspect, and we're going to look at the prayer of provision. This morning, we're only going to look at seven words, give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. Beyond words, Lord, we give you glory as we were singing to you this morning. Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, may the world see that you are God, that you are the creator, that you are in control of all things. Lord, we do know in your kingdom in heaven you rule and you rule perfectly. And one day, Lord, you will set up your kingdom on earth, and we ask that that come. Until then, Lord, let us be, as we have seen, your lights in the world, your salt in the world. Let us take the Beatitudes, Lord, and look at those qualities and say, Lord, please make those the qualities of my life, of my character. Lord, let us not worry. Let us not be filled with anxiety. Let us not walk in fear in any aspect of our life, Lord, but let us truly see you as our provider and go to you for all things. Lord, we trust you. We love you because, Lord, you first loved us. We are so grateful. It is in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So before we begin, let's clarify what Jesus meant by bread. This is the normal Greek word for bread here. It is bread or the word loaves. It's the same word Jesus used to feed the multitudes, if you remember. Bread is so common in history, in the history of mankind, it is so common, it's been called the staff of life, bread. How many of you like bread? Ooh, I love bread. When I was a kid, my mom used to get so upset. Back then, Wonder Bread was it. I'd rip off the crust, I'd get 5-6 pieces and wad it up into a big ball, and eat that bread. I love bread. Give me bread. the staff of life. But obviously, Jesus is using bread to stand for everything necessary for our physical life here on earth. And he sums it up in this word. For if we were only to pray for literal bread, if it was just literal bread, a literal loaf of bread, we would die eventually. Because we need more than just bread to live on. Imagine if that's all you had, no water, no anything, just bread. That's not what Jesus means. We need water, for example. In fact, in verse 25, Jesus listed a few things in addition to bread that God knows we need, such as water to drink, clothing to put on. Paul adds in 1 Timothy 6:8, covering. And he adds that to the list. And that word for covering means anything that protects us or shelters us. It's used of clothing and of housing in the secular world, in the Greek world. So daily bread then includes all the necessities, material and physical, for the maintenance or the maintaining of your life. But if our Heavenly Father already knows what we need before we ask Him, brings forth the question, why does he tell us to pray for him for those needs? Aaron, I know you need your bread. I know you need your water. I know you need food. I know you need clothes because I don't want anybody to see you without them on. I know you need shelter. Why do I pray? Why Pray. What is the purpose? Well, obviously, there's so much to be said on that, it won't be done in one morning message. But we will answer that by giving some of the many reasons as we go on today. So God knows what we need before we ask of Him. And that confuses many people and even turns the skeptics off. The prayers of a true believer whose heart is right reveal a lot about what they know of God. Our prayers reveal a lot about what we think of God, what our relationship is with God in our prayers. It is in prayer that God teaches us. It's in prayer that God changes us. So let's look at three things that take place when our heart generates the communication of quality words as we pray for our daily bread. So first, let's look at this. When we pray for our daily bread, we are recognizing God as the true source of our livelihood. Amen? First, it's a recognition that you're the source of my livelihood. This is a kind of humility in prayer, is in fact glorifying God in 6:9. This is humility in prayer, understanding our position. That God is the ultimate source of all we have is a truth woven throughout Scripture and has been largely lost to the proud, arrogant heart. It's been largely lost on many on a need for daily provision. Psalm 104 will drive this point home along with many other passages, but let's look at it for just a minute. You can turn there. I won't have the whole psalm before you. But the Psalm 104 begins with the awesomeness of God. There's the hallowed be your name and his creative power in verses 1 through 5. It says in verse 1, our very great God who created and stretched out the heavens in verse 2 and made the moon and the sun, verse 19. This same awesome creator God also causes the grass to grow for the cattle and causes the vegetation to respond to the labor of man. So that he, it says, man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth. Verse 14. And in verse 27, in summary, whether an animal or a man, all wait for you to give them their food in due season. Does God want us to know where it comes from? Does God want us to know where our daily provision comes from? What if it's only beans and rice or a can of soup? God knows, and God will provide. Think about this for a moment. When we go to God, our Heavenly Father, we are recognizing that He and He alone is the true and ultimate source of all we need. And we are humbly trusting in this awesome, great, almighty God that there is nothing beyond His ability to provide us. There is nothing beyond His ability to do for you. He knows everything you need, and you're going before Him in recognition that you are the source of my need. Wow. Therefore, God, our Father, is the life source of everything. Everything. And when we know God in relationship, that causes us to go, ah, thank you. Jesus teaches us the same truth as He says that if your Heavenly Father can feed the birds, He can feed you. We know these things. We've heard these things. But they're really important if you are a hungry person. If your Heavenly Father clothes the fields with gorgeous lilies and emerald green grass, when we recognize this, when we're giving God the glory, when we realize He's the life source for everything, then we recognize this. He can clothe you, and we can say, hey, thank you, thank you, I'm grateful. When you look at the fields, when you look at the lilies, when you see the cattle out there chomping on your way home, if you live in the country, say, God provided that for that cow. God made that field that beautiful. He's going to clothe me and provide for me. You see, when we are in need, we can look to our banker. We can look to our employer. We can look to our doctor, to our friends to meet our needs. And even we can look to our own labor. And that is fine if we see that they are simply intermediate means used by the source of our needs, God Himself, to meet those needs. But when we put more trust in the intermediate means and trying to take control for ourselves than in the source God, we are failing to give Him the glory, and we're failing to recognize His provision for us. So we must guard against that. So we recognize God as the source of our livelihood. Next, when you are praying for your daily bread, we are confessing our dependence upon God for our livelihood. How many of you like to be called a dependent? We have words for that in society. Let's face it. What is the relevance of this prayer to the average American? In fact, when there isn't a strong economy, or in the current events we're going through, many start to realize how tenuous employment, how tenuous paychecks can be. When our world gets disruptive, then we start maybe realizing how little control we actually have. I mean, I can understand it for those who lived in Jesus' day. For the most part, laborers were paid daily. Laborers would go out into the fields, and they were hoped to come off the fields, get paid daily, and they were on their way home buy their bread for that day. To miss a day's work was to miss the funds to buy that bread for the very next day. So imagine if you were paid on a daily basis, your cupboards are bare, and you know that this labor today will take care of my family tonight. Would you be praying for God, Lord, give me this day my daily bread? What about the dependence you would feel on God? But what of those who are well off? What of nations that are in prosperity? So there's an abiding principle here in God's Word. The principle here is that we are all dependent upon God. It is just that the poor feel it more keenly. But that the sense of dependence tends to weaken us as we prosper. As we prosper, our dependency seems to wane. Especially in America, the very richest nation in the world and the richest nation in world history. You know, just a few weeks ago, it was announced that America has just passed China as the world's economic power. Wow. It is the strength of our economy, we see, that is allowing us and buffering us from the full impact of what's going on around us today. If we were hungry, if we were watching our children starve or dig holes in the sand for water, this prayer would be more natural to us. In fact, it would compel us to pray this way. We would compel with a more desperate need of God's daily provision. So the fact is, our sense of truth of our dependence on God comes in more vibrant focus in our times of need. But it doesn't mean we haven't been in that need the whole time, right? When we want bread, we just go to the cupboard. We just go to Walmart. We just go to Kroger. And then we sit there. That doesn't have no grain. This has more oats. This is bad for me. And we start selecting our bread. And some say, I'm not going to make any of this. I'm going to make my own healthy bread. Everybody, we should thank God. Praise God. That's His provision. We should not feel guilty about that. That is by the grace and mercy of God, right? When we want water, we just turn on the faucet. And when we don't trust that the faucet is going to be there for us, we just go buy water bottles. We have water. We have food. We want clothes. We just go to our closet. And then we just take what we need because it's there that God has provided, and we make our selections. I'm not saying we should feel guilty for that. I praise God that he has blessed in that way. But that tends to make people feel less, what? Dependent. We don't have to pray about it. Until those shelves are bare, until they're empty, until there's a disruption. You see, when our needs are met, we are inclined to forget who met them. We are inclined to forget the dependency we have upon God who has provided them. And Jesus wants us to remember, this is why he wants us to pray daily. I read about a man who went on a mission trip to Haiti. And while there, he met a 19-year-old boy who deeply loved the Lord. He impressed them so much, they invited him to visit them in the United States, and they even paid for his trip to come over to visit. And this young Haitian man, he felt as if he were in another world. We hear this from people who come and visit the country for the first time. In fact, there's parts of Africa, and I've talked to many, Pastor Solomon, who actually believe that we have money laying around on the ground. That's true. He had never slept between sheets. He had never had three meals in one day. He had never used indoor plumbing, and he thought that was amazing, and he had never even tasted a hamburger. By the end of a six-week visit, the young man had made many friends, and he had really enjoyed his time, and his host gave him a farewell dinner in his honor, and several members of the group and many of their friends came over to wish him goodbye. They asked him if he would like to say something, and he said yes in reply, quote, "I want to thank you so much for inviting me here. I've really enjoyed my time in the United States, but I feel now, before it's too late, that I am very glad to be going home. You have so much in America that I am beginning to lose my grip on my day-to-day dependency on Christ." And I thought, that made me think. And what is the Word of God to do? The Holy Spirit uses it to convict us, to get us back where we're supposed to be, to cause us to pause and think for a moment. This is a very real problem that can happen to us. And the Lord wants us to remember where our provision comes from. And that's the best place you can place your trust. Let's never lose our grip on our day-to-day dependency on Jesus Christ, whether we have a little or whether we have a lot. Do you remember God told Israel that he was going to take them out of Egypt, and he was going to take them into the promised land, and he was going to bless them abundantly. That they should never allow their hearts to become proud in Deuteronomy 8:14. That they would forget their dependency upon him, and that they would foolishly think that it was solely because of their own strength, because of their own power, they had what they needed. Deuteronomy 8:17, and God warned them about that. He said, "Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hands made me this wealth." The heart of man can be so deceptive. We can fall into these things and need to guard against it. A few weeks ago, we sang a song thanking God, if you'll remember, for the breath in our lungs to worship him. You all remember that? In fact, can you stand and sing it for us or not? Okay. What do we know by just those words? That we are all utterly dependent upon God. Even for our breath to serve him and worship him. Not only does he give you breath to live, he gives you the breath to sing praises to him. Even down to our breath, he provides. The psalm has the word praise repeated 13 times in just 6 verses. Amazing. The psalm closes with this. The psalms close with this, Psalm 150, verse 6. "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Do you know Jesus opened up the Sermon on the Mount with "blessed are those"? He opened up the Sermon on the Mount with the difference between the kingdom citizen and those who thought they were in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, "Blessed are you," therefore the Blessed Life series, "blessed are you, happy are you as my child in my kingdom. And the Psalms open with blessed is the one, and they close with praise the Lord. Very first word of the psalm, blessed is, praise the Lord. You got to love it. You got to love it. Daily prayer for our bread reminds us of our dependence upon God. And when we pray with this spirit, when we pray with this attitude, then God gets the proper glory he deserves. Therefore, we're all utterly dependent on him. Let's not forget that. Even for the breath to worship and serve him. So first we see we are recognizing God as the source of our livelihood. When we pray for our daily bread, we are confessing our dependency upon God for that livelihood. And last, when we pray for our daily bread, we are forced to examine our priorities in life. When you pray before God, it will force you to examine your words. So daily bread, as we saw, is about meeting the necessities of life, not the luxuries of life. 1 Timothy 6, 7 through 8 says, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." I think this is where my mom got the phrase, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." "With these we shall be content." What a practical test of a spiritual heart. What a practical test of our spiritual state. Are we truly content with God meeting the necessities of life? How's that song go? Got the bare necessities. Baloo. Is that Baloo? Baloo. Are we content with this? Can we live with that? Can you really live with just the necessities? Let's face it. I am spoiled. Thank you, God, for spoiling me. I'm spoiled by our affluent culture that we consider necessities are sometimes outright luxuries in most parts of the world. Think about that for a moment. Right? We are so materially oriented and driven this way, and temptation is part of the way Satan can attack us. So physically focused that even when our needs are met, even when they're exceeded, we often feel and experience discontent. And we have to say, "Lord, please convict me. Let me pray this way every day so I can question and allow you to decipher my priorities in life." This prayer for our daily bread is in the context that begins first with a heart focused on God, His glory, His kingdom, and His will. And then is focused on us. You see, let's don't lose this equation. When our heart is truly focused on God, focused on His kingdom and His will in our life, we will become content with our daily bread. We will become content in wanting anything His will is for us. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit transforms us when we are spending time with the Lord. Remember Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first His kingdom." You see, I believe that real contentment comes with commitment to God. It really does. How are we committed to pray with quality words? What is my commitment to Him? You see, the less heaven is real to me, the less God's kingdom is desired in me. The less His will is wanted and wanted to be obeyed in my life, the less His glory is desired by me. And the more I want of this world, which ultimately cannot satisfy or bring me contentment and happiness, the blessed life, the more I want of the world, will rob me of the contentment God has for me. It will rob me of the blessed life He has wanted me to participate and experience in, because my focus is no longer on Him. It becomes focused on my wants. So if we as believers have our needs met, and we are still happy, unhappy, or still unsatisfied, or still discontented, that is a moment to say, "Hey, wait a minute. Let me refocus. How do I pray daily? What is my heart's desire? Lord, how can you change me? And if we were honest, we will find that we many times are more earthly minded than heavenly oriented. And we are more consumed with self than with God's glory. But when we go through these exercises, God will reveal that to us. You see, there are believers throughout the world living in poverty. They're living in poverty. I call it bread and water living. That nevertheless are filled with joy and they're filled with contentment because their priorities are right in how they pray and how they serve God and what they see for the future. So when we pray for our daily bread, that very praying done with the right heart will force us, will prod us to examine our priorities. And that's a thank you, God moment. Because when God reveals to us anything in our heart where our priorities may be wrong and prods us to get them back right, then we're right where He wants us to be. And how many of you know that is the very best place to be? Right on? Give us this day, today, our daily bread. Therefore, this prayer is more profound than it appears, causing us to recognize God as the source of all we have and to humbly acknowledge our dependence upon Him while forcing us to face the priorities in our life. But I want to submit something else to you today as we're a few moments away from closing. I want to submit something else to you. The daily bread most needed is God's Word. Jesus says in Matthew 4:3-4, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" There's the daily bread. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" You see, the soul that is well fed on God's word will be happy even in poverty, even in humble circumstances, even in trials, even in hardships. Amen. But the soul in famine, the famine in a soul, will never find contentment or the blessed life with just bread for the body. You want to have bread for the soul and bread for the body. Are you praying and thanking God daily for your daily bread? Have you examined your priorities lately? Are you content with your needs being met, or is there a craving for more and more? How is your soul food? If my pantry might be bare, let my soul food overflow. Right? Are you feeding your soul in God's Word daily? You see, when you're feeding on the Word, your soul will be satisfied even if the only bread and provision you have is a day's worth. Even if it's only for this day. Because it will drive you to your dependency on God. It will drive you to Him being your priority. It will drive you to getting your priorities right. And it will align you in fellowship and communion with God on a daily basis. And it will bless you. It will build your trust. It will build your faith. It will build you for His will. Wednesday evening, those of you who were here, I'm briefly going to share a little bit of that. We talked about Psalm 115. I want to read this to you. Psalm 115, verse 1, and then 9 through 15. "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless you. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Yes, he's talking to Israel, but there's an abiding principle here because he says, "To the earth, bless the Lord." It's to us as well. We can bless the Lord because here, trust in the Lord is three times. He is our helper and our shield three times. He will bless three times. It's He. It's He. He is. He is. He is. He will. He will. Who gets the glory? Who? provides for you. And as we do this prayer, as we pray these things, as we trust in the Lord, take comfort in this. His thoughts towards us outnumber the sand. Psalm 139, 17, 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. You are not forgotten. The Lord has you on His mind, and He knows what you need. When is the time, my friends, to bless, praise, and trust in the Lord? Now is the time. In this lifetime, today, regardless of earthly circumstance. Praise team, where are you at? Oh, they're back there. Listen to this. And I'm closing here. But as for us, in verse 18, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. How many of you know that God will take care of you each and every day until He brings you home from glory? Therefore, we can praise Him today and forevermore. Amen. When we pray for our daily bread, remember, you are recognizing God as the source of your livelihood. You are confessing your dependence upon God for your livelihood, and you are examining the priorities in your life. When we do this, we will grow in trust. The Lord will increase our faith, and our praise for the Lord of His loving kindness as our provider, as our helper, and as our shield will increase, especially in times of trouble. We will be communicating words of dear quality. Praise God. So as we will close today, let's say it as we mean it. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and we believe it and we mean it. Praise God. Praise God.